BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today on VCY America. It will be a Friday News Roundup Day here today, and we've got a lot of stories. I tell you, the number of stories that Lori's put together for us today are many, and lots of highlighting that's been going on. And as we thank Lori for all the stories, Mary's at the phones today. I think we got Justin in the control room, and we're all set to go. Here is certainly from New Zealand. Yesterday, CNSnews.com reports as New Zealanders mark the one-week anniversary of the worst mass shooting in the country's history. The state-owned radio and television network broadcasts live the Islamic call to prayer. We told you yesterday it was going to happen, and it did. People were encouraged to wear a headscarf as a show of solidarity with the Muslim community. On social media in New Zealand and around the world, they questioned the appropriateness of promoting the Muslim head covering at a time when, for example, Iranian women are being punished for protesting the mandatory wearing of the hijab. Just last week, it was reported that Iranian human rights lawyer Narsin Sotoudeh, who represented women charged for protesting the mandatory wearing of the hijab, she was sentenced just for representing women who don't want to wear it. She's been sentenced now to a lengthy prison term, as well as lashes, you know, like as in being whipped. The plan to broadcast the call to prayer was not welcomed at all. It begins with Allah is greatest, followed by the Shahada, saying there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. The parliamentary speaker from Ardern's center-left Labour Party late last year has removed references to Jesus from a prayer said in the parliament at the start of each session. Cannot say Jesus in the prayer, but yesterday, putting out over nationwide broadcast radio and television, yelling out that Allah is greatest. As we take a look further at some of the goings-on yesterday in New Zealand, 50 worshippers who were gunned down last Friday at the 2 Christchurch Mosque did not die in vain, the leader for one of the mosques said at the national, at the service that transpired. He said, quote, their blood has watered the seeds of hope, said Al-Nur Mosque Imam Gamal Fauda as he joined the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern at Christchurch Hagley Park for a call to prayer and 2 minutes of silence. He said, through them, the world will see the beauty of Islam and the beauty of our city. They are not just martyrs of Islam, but they are martyrs of this nation, New Zealand. Your martyrdom is a new life for New Zealand and a change of prosperity for many. There was a top Auckland school group, a girls' school, that had lifted a ban on students wearing the hijab after a teacher called the policy discriminatory. RNZ reported that the two Muslim sisters had raised the issue of wearing hijab at their school. It's a private Anglican school. Several weeks ago, saying, quote, we believe this is now an appropriate thing to revise our policy to allow for wearing of the hijab by our Muslim students who wish to do so. Incidentally, April 1st and 2nd, the Council on American Islamic Relations announced that Muslims from across the United States will be attending the 5th annual National Muslim Advocacy Days on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. This year, Advocacy Days participants will focus their lobbying efforts on issues such as the Trump administration's immigration ban. They're calling it a Muslim ban. They're also calling for immigration reform, protecting the rights of Muslims overseas, recognizing American Muslims' history and contributions to our nation. It's being hosted by the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations, a coalition of leading national and local Muslim organizations. The advocacy days are expected to draw hundreds of Muslim delegates from across the nation to Washington, D.C. LifeSiteNews.com reports in an opinion piece that from one, Michelle Kaufman says, I live in New Zealand. I've become alarmed at developments in my country since the shootings last Friday. It seems I've woken up and all of a sudden live in an Islamic state. sharing some of the things that have unfolded. Thought police are out in full force. People are being scrutinized for hate speech. Green ribbons being worn as a symbol against hate. Mosque and many of the prayer rooms continue to be protected by armed police. And by the way, police aren't usually armed, she said, in my country. Vigils are being held all over the place in solidarity with the victims. These seem to be morphed into what amounts to support for the Islamic religion. She said it seems that showing our great respect for those who were killed has somehow been manipulated into showing affirmation of the Islamic religion. New Zealand is now putty in the Islamist hands, she says. And then also gives that same urgent plea that we heard from Joshua Riddle yesterday. Please keep New Zealand in your prayers. By the way, FoxNews.com is reporting that leading Democrats have helped praise on New Zealand's Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, after she announced her country was immediately banning military-style semi-automatic weapons after last week's attack. Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez were among the crowd of progressive voices who celebrated Ardern's announcement, said they also used it as an opportunity to call for stricter gun control in the United States. Do you know what's happening Sunday in New York City? Times Square, the Council on American-Islamic Relations is holding a march against racism, bigotry, and xenophobia, right in Times Square, Broadway and 47th Street, this Sunday, 2:30 in the afternoon, United Against Islamophobia, march against racism, bigotry, and xenophobia. From Jihad Watch, a federal grand jury in New Mexico has indicted five Muslims who allegedly trained children to carry out school massacres on terrorism-related offenses, conspiracy to commit murder, and kidnapping. The children also lived under abusive conditions. The leader of the group is Siraj bin Wahaj. He is the son of Imam Siraj Wahaj, a former board member of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. The elder Wahaj gave an opening prayer at an event at the Democratic National Convention in 2012 and has been called a spiritual advisor to jihad promoter and Bernie Sanders supporter Linda Sarsour. And now we have New Mexican Muslims who plotted jihad these massacres linked directly to the Council on American-Islamic Relations. By the way, from Jihad Watch, a special note to Floridians. June 18th, special election will be held for Coral Springs City Commission seat number 2. The former Commissioner Dan Daley has left the seat vacant following his win in a state house special election. Heading to the Florida State Legislature in Tallahassee, one of the individuals vying for his commission seat is Karam Wahid, a Pakistani-born South Florida attorney. Built his name on representing high-profile terrorists. According to the Miami New Times, Wahid himself was placed on a federal terrorist watch list in 2011. Beside his controversial law practice, Wahid is the co-chairman of the Emerge Action Islamist group that he founded in 2006 that attempts to pass its extremist agenda off as political advocacy. The group is part of the South Florida Muslim Federation, a consortium of South Florida's radical Islamic organizations and terror-related mosque, reports CreepingSharia.com. And also from the Democratic National Party came a release last Sunday, history made on Tuesday, when Movita Johnson-Harrell became the first Muslim woman elected to the Pennsylvania House. Turning the issue to another topic, this coming to us from CBN, President Donald Trump announced yesterday the United States officially recognizes Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, a move that defies international law and signals a significant change in U.S. policy toward Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office applauded the move, saying, quote, "At a time when Iran seeks to use Syria as a platform to destroy Israel, at POTUS, Trump boldly recognizes Israeli sovereignty in the Golan Heights. Thank you, President Trump." He went on to say, "This is the eve of Purim, and we have a miracle of Purim," Netanyahu said in a joint statement with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in Jerusalem last evening. President Trump has just made history. I called him. I thanked him on behalf of the people of Israel. He did it again. First, he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moved the U.S. embassy here. Then he pulled out of the disastrous Iran treaty and reimposed sanctions. But now he did something of equal historic importance. He recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, and he did so at a time when Iran is trying to use Syria as a platform to attack and destroy Israel. And the message that President Trump has given the world is that America stands by Israel. He went on to say, we're celebrating Purim, when 2,500 years ago, other Persians, led by Haman, tried to destroy the Jewish people. They failed then, and today, 2,500 years later, again, Persians, led by Khomeini, are trying to destroy the Jewish people and the Jewish state. They are going to fail again. And then he said, we're deeply grateful for the U.S. support. We're deeply grateful for the unbelievable and unmatchable support for our security and our right to defend ourselves and everything that you do on behalf of Israel and for the state of Israel in so many forms. Well, President Trump will be hosting the Israeli Prime Minister at the White House next week. And we understand that this will be his third visit since President Trump took office. They will be discussing Middle East issues in a meeting on March 25. And then the president will be hosting Mr. Netanyahu for dinner on March 26. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo wrapped up his two-day trip to Israel on Thursday with a historic visit to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, reports Breitbart. His Western Wall visit marked the first time that a U.S. Secretary of State visited Jerusalem's contested Old City, accompanied by a senior Israeli official, the Times of Israel said. And from CBN, they tell us that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told them in their news that it was very possible, that is very possible, that President Trump is a modern-day Esther poised to defend Israel and to save the Jewish people. That's from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The economic collapse reporting that Israel is on the brink of war with Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran all at the same time. Also, interesting story that came out from Pamela Geller reporting about Hungary's foreign minister opened a trade office in Jerusalem that will have official diplomatic status during a short visit to Israel on Tuesday. The new trade office is considered a branch of the Central European country's embassy in Israel, which will remain in Tel Aviv. But this is a very exciting moment for us because this is a quote here from the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He said, this is a very exciting moment for us because it's the first European diplomatic mission that's opened in Jerusalem in many decades, and three Hungarian diplomats are going to be assigned to this office for trade purposes. FoxNews.com reports that the caliphate has crumbled. Its final offensive is over. While the official announcement has not yet been made, Fox News has been told that the village, the last ISIS stronghold, is liberated. Troops are now bringing down the black flags of ISIS. The flags no longer fly over the town, instilling fear. That's what would be in Syria. The last 5 days, Fox News witnessed the last major offensive up close, with U.S.-backed SDF forces attacking ISIS from three sides, pushing the fighters back house to house, then tent to tent against the Euphrates River. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll continue with more news stories, a roundup of many different events taking place this week. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
It's a Friday news roundup today on Crosstalk. We thank you for joining us, and just a lot of random issues that are going on, but folks, so many of these link together. Certainly we're living in a time when good is called evil and evil is called good, and there is a greater clamping down on Christianity all across this globe. Christian persecution on the increase. We see the proliferation of wickedness taking place, not only here in the United States, but around the world as well. Sharing some other stories that have taken place this week here on Crosstalk. Let's see. The Washington Free Beacon reporting that President Trump signed an executive order yesterday tying federal research funding for colleges and universities to their policies governing free speech. The president said, "We're delivering a clear message to the professors and power structures trying to suppress young Americans and all Americans from challenging far-left ideology. People who are confident in their beliefs cannot censor others. They welcome free, fair, and open debate, and that's what we are demanding." The executive order requires that 12 federal agencies that fund higher education research to include free speech protections when determining which schools receive taxpayer grants. To be eligible, public universities and colleges have to reaffirm their obligation to uphold existing laws concerning free academic inquiry. And certainly we are seeing that being stifled on the part of so many college campuses, not allowing viewpoint differentials to take place from students who challenge the viewpoints that are coming forth from professors. Also, LifeSiteNews.com reports Students for Life at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, set up a Cemetery of the Innocents display on campus to commemorate lives lost to abortion. Well, they set up 1,000 crosses with permission from the school, and throughout the day, pro-abortion activists, presumably students, though that's unclear, kept pulling the crosses out of the ground, placing them in trash bags, or putting them on top of trash cans. From the New American, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this week that the law means what it says. The nut of its 5-4 ruling in the Nielsen versus Priap is this, that pursuant to federal law, immigration authorities must detain, without the possibility of release on bond, a deportable criminal immigrant until his immigration status is settled. And no matter how long he was free from custody for the criminal offense, the government can lock him up again. Troubling story from the Washington Times. The federal government says a man who killed a sheriff's deputy and wounded a police officer in a central Washington state shootout was in the United States illegally. Yes, folks, it has happened again. ICE said yesterday that a 29-year-old, Juan Manuel Flores del Toro, who also died as a result of the shootout, was a citizen of Mexico. He entered the U.S. in 2014 at Laredo, Texas, on a temporary agriculture worker visa. But the agency says it has no record of his leaving the country or extending the visa. From the state of Michigan, the Michigan Department, this is from the Detroit News, Michigan Department of Civil Rights Director Augustin Arbula announced the department is creating a process to document hate and bias incidents that don't rise to the level of a crime or civil infraction. The State Department of Civil Rights reviews reports from both the SPLC, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Anti-Defamation League to get a snapshot of what's taking place in Michigan, Arbulu said. The plans for a database would document hate and bias incidents that don't rise to the level of a crime. Arbulu said that he hopes the database will allow the department to be proactive and address issues before they rise to the level of a crime. He pointed to a recent incident in Lansing over President's Day weekend in which flyers saying, "Keep America American," encouraged people to report any and all illegal aliens. The flyers included a phone number for ICE and the website for Patriot Front, a group that the SPLC has labeled a white nationalist group. In a statement, Arbulu said that he was disappointed by the flyers, but know this, we are watching and we won't allow hate to divide us. From CBN, the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro came to America to tell President Trump that he may only not only admires him, but is also a friend of the United States. It is fair to say that today Brazil does not have a president who is not anti-American, Bolsonaro said during the press conference in the Rose Garden Tuesday. President Trump said that Bolsonaro's historic election win marked a new day in Brazil and a new era of friendship with the United States. From the Christian Post, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit ruled last Friday that a law giving clergy an exemption from paying income taxes on their housing allowance is constitutional. The ruling protects religious leaders nationwide from having to pay nearly $1 billion more from more each year in taxes. From the Epoch Times, the United States imposed sanctions on March 21st on two Chinese shipping companies that it says helped North Korea evade sanctions over its nuclear weapons program, the first such steps since the U.S.-North Korea summit collapsed last month. And from Fox News, a recent report last week by a U.N. panel noted that investigations are underway concerning North Korea's acquisition of luxury goods. People are starving, but luxury goods coming in, Rolls-Royce, Mercedes-Benz, and Lexus vehicles. The panel found that the world's largest container shipping line continued to unwittingly transport prohibited items. Americans for Limited Government, President Rick Manning, said that the Trump budget that was released the week ago would end federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with $60 million over its 2020 and 2021 being used for closeout costs and transitioning to a non-federally funded model. This limits the size and scope of government, gets Washington, D.C. out of the business of broadcasting in the streaming age with thousands of options for programming on television, the computer, and on radio. Townhall.com tells us that President Trump donated a quarter of his salary, his quarterly salary this time, to the Department of Homeland Security on Monday. He's been criticized. Show us the proof. Well, he tweeted out a photo of the check to prove it. Fox News also reports that, unlike most incumbents, President Trump started his reelection bid on the day one of his presidency. He filed papers with the Federal Election Commission within hours of being inaugurated on January 20, 2017. Many saw it as being comical, albeit in character, step for the audacious Trump. Yet by doing so, he was able to raise huge sums of money 4 years before the election. According to the FEC data, the Trump campaign has raised over $67 million from 2017 to 2018 with nearly $20 million on hand. By contrast, former President Barack Obama had raised only $4 million in the first 2 years of his presidency, and former President George W. Bush had raised $3 million by the end of his second year in office and filed for re-election in May of 2003. The Trump campaign raised over $67 million. The Hill tells us that freshman Democrats in the lower chamber expected to meet with former President Barack Obama next week, a reception organized by Speaker Nancy Pelosi, confirmed by a Democratic aide yesterday. The Washington Free Beacon says the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign is violating federal election law by employing foreign nationals in advisory campaign positions, according to a newly filed complaint to the FEC, obtained exclusively by the Free Beacon. LifeNews.com tells us a Democratic presidential candidate, Beto O'Rourke, apologizing for writings he made as a teenager, describing fantasies about running over children with a vehicle. Now look how Judge Kavanaugh, they went back to his yearbooks. Now we have Beto saying, "One day as I was driving home from school, I noticed two children crossing the street. They were happy, happy to be free from their troubles. This happiness was mine by right. I had earned it in my dreams. As I neared the young ones, I put my weight on my right foot, keeping the accelerator pedal on the floor until I heard the crashing of the two children on the hood and then the sharp cry of pain from one of the two. I was so fascinated for a moment that after I had stopped my vehicle, I just sat in a daze, sweet visions filling my head," O'Rourke continued. The news is perhaps not surprising, given that O'Rourke supports abortions up to birth, reports LifeNews.com. That's a position that he defended as videotaped during a campaign stop. Yes, abortion up to the third and through the third trimester, saying, well, that is up to a woman and her doctor. Also coming to us from LifeNews.com, Democratic presidential candidate Cory Booker hired a prominent abortion activist as a top staffer for his presidential campaign. Life News, lots of stories here on different legislation. Arkansas has a new law to protect unborn babies from abortion starting at 18 weeks after Asa Hutchinson signed the measure last Friday. A Georgia Senate committee advanced a pro-life bill Monday that would prohibit abortions after a baby's heartbeat is detectable. New Mexico, wow, what an amazing thing happened there, because New Mexico defeated this radical bill to legalize abortions all the way up to birth. That was that happened last week. The Senate rejected a very radical pro-abortion bill that would have kept abortions legal for any reasons up to birth in the state. The vote 18-24, it was a tough fight for pro-life advocates after the bill had passed the House earlier in February. Also in New Mexico, LifeNews.com reports that a New Mexico City voted to become a sanctuary for unborn babies last week. Roswell Daily Record reports that Roswell City Council responded with a resolution declaring their city a sanctuary for unborn babies, passed 7-1. The resolution states that innocent human life deserves to be protected, and life is the first declared right in the Declaration of Independence. It supports adoption as an alternative to abortion, as well as resources to ease the burden of adoption. Fox News tells us that Mississippi Republican Governor Phil Bryant signed one of the strictest abortion laws in the nation on Thursday, outlawing most procedures once a fetal heartbeat can be detected. The law would make it illegal for a woman to have an abortion after approximately 6 weeks of pregnancy. And the governor said this, we will all answer to the good Lord one day. I will say in this instance, I have fought for the lives of innocent babies, even under the threat of legal action. LifeNews.com says a federal judge blocked Kentucky's heartbeat law last Friday, allowing unborn babies to continue to be aborted in that state. But Matt Bevin signed a second pro-life bill into law this month, this one to protect unborn babies who are targeted because of their sex, race, or disability, such as Down syndrome. Abortionists who violate the measure could have their licenses revoked and face felony charges. South Dakota, LifeSiteNews.com tells us that your governor, Kristi Noem, signed a slate of bills into law Wednesday to impose various new restrictions on abortions and responsibilities on the physicians committing them, as well as new safeguards for parental rights. And she said as she signed these bills, she said, our work isn't done until abortion is eliminated completely, but this is a step forward for life. Also, very troubling story. Life News calls it one of the sickest ironies no one is talking about. Senate liberals picked this moment. It was 17 days after they voted to kill America's perfectly healthy infants to fight for the humane treatment of kittens. For sponsors like Senator Jeff Merkley, the optics are nauseating, they write. Here he is arguing that America must stop killing kittens when 3 weeks ago he stood in the U.S. Capitol and argued with others that human beings should be put down. The Kitten Act would protect those innocent animals from being needlessly euthanized in government testing, Merkley told reporters, and make sure that they can be adopted by loving families instead. The writer of the article says, does he even hear himself? They should be treated and adopted? That's exactly what Americans have been requesting for living, breathing babies. But he and his party said no. Killing a child is a personal decision, they said, and Congress should not get in the way. Don't get in the way of killing a baby, but my, oh my, we need legislation to protect kittens. I've got some more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the great white throne judgment, the new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Kill the babies, protect kittens. Yeah, that's the legislation coming forth, and truly, truly troubling indeed, as is this story from LifeSiteNews.com. And you are listening to a Friday News Roundup here today on Crosstalk. We have Rosara Bison, the assistant pastor at Christ Community Alliance Church in Barre, Vermont. He also gives devotions before the Vermont Senate, as many local religious leaders have done. But according to the TrueNorthReports.com, Pastor Bison spoke about everyone's right to life in January, just a week before the State House held a public hearing on Vermont's expansive abortion bill, H-57. But because what he said was deemed to be controversial and political by several senators, the pastor was banned from giving devotions for a full year. He talked about the key purpose of government, including the protection, promotion, and provision of human life, especially its most vulnerable. Sorry, you can't say that before the Vermont Senate. You are banned. Banned from giving devotions for a full year. A story from ADF International tells us on March 23rd, that's coming up tomorrow, a March for Life will be taking place across 58 cities in Argentina. 1 million people expected to attend across the country. This comes after their Senate upheld protections for the unborn in August 2018, 2 days before the International Day of the Unborn Child. Argentina, one of the first countries to celebrate this International Day. A March for Life taking place there. Hey, this one ought to send shockwaves down your spine. This is from CBN. The News in Advance reports Jerry Falwell Jr. Jerry Falwell Jr. and his wife Becky were speaking at a satellite CPAC event alongside Donald Trump Jr. when the couple said that they would raise their granddaughter as a female. Mrs. Falwell said, quote, "She's our granddaughter and we're raising her as a girl. We're not letting her have a choice. God made the choice of what the babies are going to be, and God decided she would be a girl." And here's the shocking part. About 30 Liberty University students responded to the Falwell's remarks by waving gay pride flags and carrying signs supporting transgender rights on the steps of the campus's student union. Addison Garner, a senior, this is from newsadvance.com. Addison Garner, a senior who organized the protest, called the Falwell's comments transphobic, and said Trump should not have reduced the Me Too movement to a punchline. Caleb Fitzpatrick, a senior and demonstrator, said the group had hoped to use the event to spark a shift in attitude on a largely conservative campus. Our hope is to start a conversation that can hopefully lead to change within social perception and university policy, he said. Hopefully, we can create an environment where comments like Friday's are not welcome and are not normal. They said, we have a granddaughter, we're going to raise our granddaughter as a girl. And they were saying, well, hopefully we can create an environment where comments like that are not welcome and are not normal. Some 30 students, Liberty University students, protesting the Falwell's gender identity comments, carrying the gay flag, and then also signs up, LGBTQ Lives Matter. And it's not only there. As the Christian Post points out, Azusa Pacific University, a major Christian-based Christian school, has once again opted to remove a ban on same-sex romantic relationships. The university changed their student guidelines on inappropriate sexual behavior last Thursday, removing the ban on homosexual relationships, according to a report by the San Gabriel Valley Tribune published Saturday. Azusa Pacific University spokesperson Rachel White explained the comments emailed to the Christian Post on Tuesday that the charges were, or rather the changes were part of an overall update of the undergraduate student handbook. White said that the ban on same-sex relationships did not reflect our commitment to disciple our students and to point them to Christ. What do you mean? By just taking a scissors and cutting up his word? The Christian Post also reporting that the United States Supreme Court declined to hear oral arguments in a case about a Hawaiian bed and breakfast that refused on religious grounds to serve a lesbian couple, allowing a ruling against the business to stand. Phyllis Young, owner of the three-room Aloha Bed and Breakfast, will now face a penalty for her refusal to rent a room to a same-sex lesbian couple. They were represented by Alliance Defending Freedom. They argued that because they only rented 1 to 3 rooms in their personal home, that it did not fall under the Hawaii Public Accommodations Law that makes sexual orientation discrimination unlawful. The courts disagreed, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the case, so it allowed the lower court's ruling to stand. You heard Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel on Monday's Crosstalk talking about the so-called Equality Act. Well, folks, things just like this will be commonplace all across the United States. Incidentally, due to the significance of the so-called Equality Act, Lord willing, Matt Staver will be returning this coming Monday to Crosstalk to delve into that topic even further. From the Daily Wire, at the very end of February, an elementary school in Arlington, Virginia, had kindergartners sit on the floor to hear a transgender spokesperson for the Human Rights Campaign read them a book in which the claim is made that a boy can have a girl brain but a boy body, or a boy brain and a girl body. The school district later claimed that parents were notified by a letter ahead of time and were allowed to opt out if they choose, but that claim was reportedly false. A copy of the February 22nd letter provided to the Family Foundation of Virginia under Virginia Freedom of Information Act shows absolutely no offer for parents to pull their kids out of that activity. You've heard about the drag queen story hours? Well, as WND.com reports, a drag queen story hour at the Houston Library being canceled. Organizers are blaming threats from anti-LGBT organizations for the decisions. That was, of course, that little issue of one of the readers at the story time had been convicted of molesting an 8-year-old. WND reported on the issue that developed at the Houston Public Library, where officials admitted that they deeply regretted not doing a background check that would have revealed the background of one of the readers, a 32-year-old drag queen who goes by the name of Tatiana Melanina, convicted of assaulting an 8-year-old child, reported Todd Starnes. LGBTQ Nation reports Virginia set to become the 10th state to provide gender-neutral driver's licenses and ID cards to its residents, confirming plans announced in January of last year to include X to the current M and F options. In the UK, the Christian.org out of the UK says that parents opposed to their teens' efforts to change sex have had their children removed by social services. When two sets of parents objected to doctors prescribing puberty blockers, they were reported by teachers at their children's schools. Teachers reported that the parents of a 15-year-old girl to social services for refusing to support her decision to live as a boy. The deputy head teacher reportedly said he was powerless to intervene and prevent them from losing their daughter, saying, quote, "I know she's not a boy, but she self-identified, so my hands are tied." The boy's mother said, quote, "I'm absolutely devastated. When I saw the report that social services wrote about us and saw the words emotional abuse, I just broke down." She added, "We had read that those blockers might not be reversible and there might be long-term effects for brain development, and was very concerned about the damage, and the parents objected. And because the parents objected and the kids go to school and tell their teachers, the teachers call in social services and the children taken away." Also in the UK, Pamela Geller reports to us, carrying a story from the Mail Online, a stepfather who slammed his 12-year-old school for making her write a letter about converting to Islam has been called a racist bigot and terrified of violent repercussions. refused to have her finish the letter to the family about converting to Islam, claiming it was brainwashing her about the religion, did not see what it would achieve. He said he's been called a racist, a bigot. I'm just terrified for my children and for the way this country is going. Yeah, there is much going on in the UK. Here's one other story. And then we'll open some lines here. A professor at Oxford in the UK is accusing the National Health Service's only specialized clinic for transgender children of suppressing negative results of experimental treatments. Dr. Michael Biggs of the school's Department of Sociology alleges that the Gender Identity Development Service has been handing out experimental puberty-blocking hormones to children, even though there was a significant increase in the number of girls who self-reported to staff members they deliberately tried to hurt or kill themselves. Worse, he alleges the information was suppressed. The story's on WND.com. Folks, if you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. I know we have limited time today. There is so much going on. Our number is 1-800-733-9829. What's your reaction? Your reaction, perhaps the Islamic call to prayer in New Zealand going forth, proclaiming through national radio and television that there is no God but Allah, Muhammad being his messenger. Perhaps you want to comment on the call that went out saying that Allah is the greatest. Meanwhile, you cannot say the names of Jesus Christ in the prayer that was removed from the parliamentary prayers. Oh, here's another story. San Antonio Airport is banning Chick-fil-A over anti-gay accusations. Chick-fil-A will not be allowed to open a planned restaurant inside the San Antonio International Airport. Why? Because the city council is packed with anti-Christian bigots. The city council, this is Todd Starnes writing, the city council voted to ban the nation's most popular fast food chain over accusations that the family-owned company donates to anti-LGBT organizations. According to Think Progress, the anti-gay organizations that Chick-fil-A supports include the Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the Paul Anderson Youth Home. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a religious organization that seeks to spread an anti-LGBTQ message to college athletes and requires a strict sexual purity policy for its employees that bars any homosexual acts. Paul Anderson Youth Home, a Christian residential home for troubled youth, teaches boys that homosexuality is wrong and that same-sex marriage is rage against Jesus Christ and his values. Well, guess what? The council members said that Chick-fil-A, because of their support of these organizations, they are anti-LGBTQ and have voted to ban them from the San Antonio airport. Atlanta, Georgia, we have Leroy calling in. Hi, Leroy, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, man, that list you got is stunning. Can y'all, like, post all y'all news? I mean, the stuff you don't get to?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole lot, and Lord willing, we'll cover some further topics on programs, but it's pretty troubling, Leroy.
Yeah, but here's my comment. So the Supreme Court just made it an all-male draft unconstitutional, right?
I don't believe that came through the U.S. Supreme Court. I believe that was a lower court that made that ruling.
Oh, so, but they're trying to.
Yes.
Okay, so aren't those on the other side saying that you can't tell a woman what to do with their body?
Yes, that's correct.
So, I mean, you can't have both. You see what I'm saying? You can't say, oh, yeah, let's get rid of all-male draft and we going to draft females, but then you say you can't tell a woman not to abort.
Pretty troubling. Mixed messages coming through. Thank you, Leroy. I'm up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, this past week, Fox News suspended, at least for one broadcast, maybe more, we'll see, the program of Judge Jeanine. Well, what did Judge Jeanine do? She accurately quoted the Quran. She accurately quoted Islamic sources to reveal that indeed, women under Sharia are to wear their head covering in order to avoid being molested. Which shows that this member of the United States Congress she was talking about is indeed complying with Sharia. Sharia is completely inconsistent with our constitutional republic, not only in how women are treated, but how Christians and Jews are treated. And again, these are comments that have come from a woman who's complying with Sharia and making anti-Semitic remarks. And what happens? Fox News complies with Sharia. We're in a dangerous situation.
Did you see the Washington Times story this week about the Border Patrol saying they caught more than 400 illegal immigrants trying to break into the El Paso, Texas during 1 5-minute span Tuesday morning? The Secretary of Homeland Security said the situation at our southern border has gone from a crisis to a national emergency to a near system-wide meltdown. And now, the Daily Wire reports that our Border Patrol, or our Customs and Border Protection Agency, will begin releasing some illegal immigrant detainees, particularly those who have crossed the border with their families because they're running out of places to house them. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Matthew calling from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Matthew.
Hi. I was just curious. I saw, of course, on Facebook that the governor of Oregon signed a bill into effect making abortions free, even for illegals.
Yeah, I believe.
Did you hear anything about
that? We had a story some weeks ago, and it is through the social services and the Medicaid monies and things of that nature, yes, to provide abortion at no cost.
Yeah, that's just getting seriously out of hand, especially for illegals, even.
Using your tax dollars to fund it. We've got to realize, you know, we're taking innocent human life. I mean, here they are trying to support the life of kittens and kill babies.
Right.
Something's wrong there.
Yeah, something's very wrong.
Thank you, Matthew, for your call. Dean in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. Just a quick comment. Since women are being given control of their bodies and they can murder babies, I just wonder, why are they not allowed to sell their body as prostitutes if they control it? So what's the deal? They're not going to collect any tax money? Is that the real issue?
Yeah, you see, there's loopholes in everything, and it certainly does not make common sense, but that's not what it's about. I mean, we can't be thinking people any longer, but there's great inconsistency there, Dean.
Yeah, I understand that very much. And the other thing is the majority no longer rules our country. We got 11 to 13%. These homosexuals evidently are controlling just about every walk of life. The only time that the majority rules is when the crooked politician, you know, has more votes, and then they say, well, now that counts. They won't let the one that has the least amount of votes go. So we have really got a mess on our hands.
Yeah,
there's no question about it.
We sure do. Thank you, Dean, for the call. And it is far below the 11 to 13%. Some of the latest reports were more in the 3 to 4% range in that area. Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And yet there's great amassed power. We saw with corporate America, well over 100 corporations supporting the so-called Equality Act. We read through a list of many of them last Monday on Crosstalk. Catherine is calling from Newark, Ohio. Hi, Catherine. You're on the air.
Hi. I think the rebuttal to anybody who claims to be a Christian and is talking about homosexuality, et cetera, should be the direct words from the Bible, not just saying, well, the Bible says this. And the most important change should be, Jesus is the only person who has risen from the dead, so why wouldn't he listen to them? For these people at Liberty University, I think they should be expelled for what they did. I realize that raises problems. And on these abortion bills where a child is being born, let's get them adopted immediately or have some kind of a waiting list so that if that decision arises...
There's the waiting list. There's plenty of waiting lists. There are many, many couples who would love to adopt.
That something new would come up and say, okay, fine, we have somebody at the hospital who's willing to adopt. Yeah, we'll pay for it. Let's do it right now, not the waiting list.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
We have Roz calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Roz, you're on the air.
Hi. How much expense would it be to build concrete bunkers for the illegals, at least for the women and children along the borderline, instead of releasing them, you know, house them in bunkers like they did during the recent wars or when they interned the Japanese kind of thing?
I don't know, but I think it would make a whole lot more sense to put up some barriers to keep those who are entering the country illegally from even getting into the country.
Well, the women and children might be really in danger. I think we should do something to try to help them.
Certainly, those who apply and meet the qualifications for asylum are receiving that, but there are many that are entering the country illegally just for opportunity purposes or for getting social services purposes here in the United States. It's been well documented. Thank you, Roz. Joe is next in Union Grove. You're on the air, Joe.
Yes, hi. I have a comment about what was said before with the minority control in our country. You said the statistics like 3-4%.
It was referring specifically to homosexuals.
Yeah, and that they're practically working to control almost every facet of our life to accommodate their lifestyle. And the scary thing about this, not saying that this would absolutely happen, but history shows, even recent history, the Nazis were started off as an extreme majority. And, you know, and they've shown their militancy and their, you know, their hate, true hate towards everybody who disagrees with them. The Nazis were the same way. And, you know, unless something, you know, unless the Lord tarries or something, we could be looking at, you know, potentially a dangerous situation if they continue getting as much power as they're trying to get.
That's what the Equality Act is all about, Joe, that we handled Monday and we'll be readdressing this Monday. Thank you for your comment. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Kenosha. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I got a couple of quick comments. I'll keep them brief and to the point. My brother just passed away this last year, went on to be with the Lord. He's a very, very humble, strong Christian. And he, one of the last things he ever texted me was that, I love you for your love for the truth. Hmm. And it was really powerful, you know, that he had developed that in him so much. And I hear it a lot that a lot of these Christian universities and stuff, they just do not seem to have a love for the truth, for the Word of God. Hmm. And they move away from it. The other one that I have is that came up in my spirit is God is not the author. Oh, what, I got a car coming directly at me. Thank you, Lord. God is not the author of confusion. And a lot of this stuff just sounds so much like confusion coming from these different people.
Yeah.
And the third one is about abortion. And I had a lady come to me. She was contemplating, she was actually like in her early 20s contemplating abortion, and she asked me for my opinion. And I prayed and I asked God, what should I say? And the Lord gave me to ask, told me to ask her, what decision would she want mom to make if it was her?
Yeah, good thought. I'm out of time, Chris. I wish I had more, but that theme music says the program is done. So thank you for your call here today. And to each one calling, to each one listening to the broadcast, and trust you'll share the information with others. Folks, we got to be in prayer for this nation. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.